welcome to Brotherly Pod. Here it is Monday, February 5, 2024. Here we are back. We're back.
Papa's We're here. Back.
We're both back.
We did it. It's been 2 weeks. We finally got to the February 5th deadline that we've been waiting for.
Yeah, there's something about this week. I'm trying to break all of our hosts into bi-weekly segments here, if you can't tell, if you haven't put the pieces together yet, listener. And this week here, the Papa week, man, you are just getting all the fun stuff. You got the Cutter Gauthier one, you got the original heart thing, now you got the press conference.
I wonder what's going to happen in 2 weeks. Big event.
God, I only want to know.
Yeah, Tortorella actually finally plays 6D.
Yeah.
That'll be the big event.
The press conference from the London police took place this afternoon, and we're originally going to do a show tonight because I thought we'd get some kind of something out of it, and reality is we really didn't. We got confirmation that all players were charged with sexual assault. I believe Michael McLeod was charged with 2 counts of sexual assault. So he was extra bad in this whole thing, I suppose.
That was a big news.
But, you know, they basically just stated that, said it was unacceptable. The lady in charge of the Christine Ham or whatever her name was, she basically made it very clear that she was not a part of the first investigation and that is why it got done this time around. So, well mm-hmm. done, Christine, or whatever your name was. But, you know, they did not give a ton of detail that we didn't already know. The police chief walked through the charges, and then the lady talked about, basically it was a generalized statement of what happened that night, and then said everything else is confidential. They took press conferences, took questions from the press, which they gave a bunch of generic answers to that they couldn't answer, which I'm sure that's probably legally true, that you can't talk about the case to a certain extent right now, but then why take questions on it in the first place? And I believe it was the police chief who then blamed music videos for young men sexually assaulting women. So,
yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
He stopped the press conference. Like, he stopped the Q&A part and just, like, completely was like, how media portrays women, but it's not all media's blame. And I'm like,
it's like, this is not the time for your boomer conspiracy theories. Like, yeah, I don't know, but it's officially official. News broke not too long before we started the show that the teams will get cap relief for their players that are involved in that. I don't really know what that means. I don't think it's really been updated yet as far as this recording goes, as far as what exactly that means. I believe Carter Hart was the most expensive of the bunch, $3.9 million on an expiring contract. Foreman wasn't even in the NHL. I can't believe Foote and McLeod are making a ton of money. It looks like Dubé was at $2.3 million. So, you know, there were a lot of people that were very angry about that on Twitter. And admittedly, I don't know why they were angry about that.
Why would you be upset about that? We're getting cap space. That's actually kind of good for us. Maybe we can actually go out and get a backup goalie worth a damn. That's it isn't Cal Peterson.
I mean, Hart signed that extension on August 9, 2021. I believe that would have been before this was all brought to light. So it's not like the Flyers knew about it, and it's not their fault that one of their players is a predator. I don't know what everyone's angry at, but yeah, you know, a month before the trade deadline here, clearing out. Listen, $3.9 million, we're halfway through the season. He's probably not making very much real life dollars at this point, so it's not like it's a huge saving grace here. But again, going into the deadline, which is just about a month away, month and 3 days away, any dollar counts for the Flyers to, you know, wheel and deal.
Seriously.
They do have enough money. I believe they've got about $200,000 in cap space with Hart still on non-roster and Cal Peterson's full cap hit up right now. So they can take advantage of it, try and wheel and deal, maybe get an extra pick for a expiring contract or something, play third party in a team, make something happen with it.
I mean, that's the kind of thing we were interested to see this trade deadline is, what is Danny Briere going to do? I think that's the biggest first question mark of this new era of Orange that is turning into a flaming train going down.
Yeah.
Hill to a nursery. Like, that's how bad it started to seem like. you know, the Flyers have been, it just feels like the Flyers have been doing everything to kind of like, the organization at least would try to do everything to kind of like go, no, everything's okay now. We're going better. It's a new front office. Look at the new, look at the new locker room.
PR to recover from the Chuck Fletcher era and all the rebuilding you had to do there. And then this Gauthier thing goes down. And then the Carter Hart thing goes down. It's just been one low blow after another for the org. They're back tomorrow night against the Panthers. Their break is over, which is unfortunate. Panthers, Jets, Kraken, and Coyotes over the next 7 days. They were on a 5-game losing streak going into the break.
Yep.
So we'll get to see if they come out slow, which, you know, historically they have. But their playoff, let's see, where are they at here? They're still third in the Metro with 56 points. But getting ever closer there. It looks like they did Carolina has 61 points. Their second, Rangers, are in first place with 63. Islanders, 52. Penguins, Devils, 51. It looks like all of those teams have at least one game in hand. Devils have three. You look over to the Atlantic Division, pardon me. The Maple Leafs and Red Wings currently occupy the wild card spots with 58 points apiece. So if the Flyers get overthrown in the Metro, this wild card race is getting pretty extensive over there in the Atlantic. So, interesting thing to come back to, especially when you're facing the Panthers and Jets, two of the better teams in the league, right out of the gate here. So they got to keep their pedal to the metal here if they want their playoff dreams alive.
Well, it seems like they're going to have a little bit of confidence back with Owen Tippett seemingly making his return for this game. He was practicing, I think, today and yesterday, and they haven't taken him off injury yet, but I think it's safe to say he's going to be returning in the lineup. So we'll kind of see if he's kind of slow coming out of the gate, or maybe he kind of picks up where he left off before he got injured, because he was doing extremely well. And he has, I mean, a certain amount of speed to the game that the Flyers sorely lacked these last couple games. And so maybe they'll have a little bit more of spark back in them with the rest, but I don't know. I think, and I hate to say it, I think with Cart gone now, they have a lot of holes that are going to need to address. I think Urson's going to be fine, but I feel so bad for him because he's going to have to now take up the number one goalie role. And I don't know if he's necessarily ready for it. Not that he should have been. He should have been sharing those minutes with Hart, theoretically. But now he has to be the guy, because you're not putting in Peterson every other night.
Fuck, no.
It's not happening. Jordan Tortorella is too smart to actually do that, which is good, because Peterson's pathetic. But yeah, it's going to be weird.
Sam Ersson has not posted a save percentage above 900 since January 18th, which was 6 games.
Yeah. He's starting to lose that little hot streak he had back in December.
You know, there were a lot of people. And listen, Hart's a predator. He should be in jail for the rest of his life. I'm not going to put him over this way. But as recently as that Colorado game, which was Hart's last, people were turning on this guy from an on-ice perspective real hard. We don't need him. We have Sam Ersson. And it's like, man, y'all better be fucking careful what you wish for. Because he's gone now, and Ersson is your starter. And he's going to be playing a fuck ton of minutes down the stretch here, because Cal Peterson is terrible, and they clearly don't like Felix Sandstrom. So trial by fire time for old Sam Ersson. And, you know, he's fine. I think he's good and will be good in time. However, you know, I don't think he's quite at every night starter yet in the NHL. Especially behind a team that is, you know, kind of hit or miss.
Exactly. Like, they don't have the talent in front to kind of make up for whatever Urson's going to lack. And I mean, wasn't this kind of the issue with, like, the downfall of the first round of the playoffs for the Phantoms last year? They kind of ran Urson into the ground because it was him and who was his backup last year? It wasn't Sandstrom.
Pat Nagel and Nolan Mayer were his two backups.
Oh God. So yes, a bunch of two nobodies. So I think you're going to see real quick that he's not going to be ready for taking all these minutes, but he has to be. It's kind of, the Flyers are right at this very moment lacking in options. You have Felix Sandstrom, who Tortorella does not care for, obviously, and you have Kyle Pearson, who is stealing $5 million from the Flyers right now.
Yeah.
This blatant robbery. So you don't have, you know, a lot of your, it's good that they have a lot of prospects, but you're not going to see any of, you're going to see
no immediate help here.
None. Unless they get someone on the trade deadline.
Trade deadline, you know, even then, it's probably not going to be spectacular. I can't imagine they're going to go get Connor Hellebuck.
No.
You know, you got to deal with it now and then reassess in the offseason. And, you know, Kolosov is supposed to come over. One, can he actually make it to North America? Two, he's not playing in the NHL next season. He's not, no. People. He's not. He's not. He's not. People need to hear this because I see it all. He's going to make the NHL next year. The same thing they said about fucking Urson, then he didn't. So I don't want to hear it. Kolosov's not playing in the NHL next year. There's no fucking way it's happening.
They said the same shit about Fedotov, too.
Uh-huh.
It was ridiculous. Like, he's getting freaking sent to the gulag, and everyone's like, it's okay. Once he gets out of the gulag, he's going to be right backing up Carter Hart. And I was like, are you fucking delusional?
Yeah. And, you know, Bjarnason's a couple years away. I don't know what you're doing here, but yeah, Kolosov's not an option. Sandstrom's the UFA at the end of the year. There's no fucking way that guy resigns with this team.
Hell fucking no.
Peterson's still under contract next year, so it's Urson Peterson going into next season, which is a horrible idea. Now,
depends
for what it's
what
worth.
What kind of perspective?
Well, yeah, it just depends. If you want the Flyers to lose every single game, roll fucking play Cal Peterson. That'd be the way to do it. But $5 million... in the NHL, it costs $3.85 million to bury him in the AHL. His buyout next season would be $1 million. So it is financially cheaper to buy him out, sign a backup, and a third-string AHLer instead of burying him in the AHL. So I got to assume they buy this guy out. It makes sense. But if you buy him out, then you've got Sam Ersson and fucking nobody. And taking a look at the... you know, the UFA pool of goaltenders is not great this year. Ironically enough, Anthony Stolarz would be probably the highlight for the Flyers there to sign. But, yeah, it's you went from an embarrassment of riches in net to all of a sudden, hey, Urson's maybe sort of good, but holy shit, you've got nothing behind him. Real quick.
Kolosov might just become the NHL by default. Just because you have literally no one else. They were just trial by fire him, too.
You just go play every single night and fucking...
go figure it out.
Yeah. Go figure it out. Go play behind Travis Sanheim.
Well, if they get Stolarz back, I mean, that kind of goes with that new era of Orange where it's just bring all the old shit back that Chuck Fletcher and Val Camilla took out. So, you know, that wouldn't be a terrible PR move. It's in line with people saying bring Giroux back.
I don't think Stolarz and Giroux are quite in the same plane of existence there.
But, I mean, yeah, you're right, but...
I would be happy with Stolarz back.
I'd be happy with Giroux back.
I was just fucking annoyed when Fletcher traded him, but...
I forgot he got traded. I just
traded
was like,
for
oh.
Cam Talbot, who they then misused so badly that he refused to sign with the team.
Wait, Cam... oh, shoot, I'm thinking of Cam Atkinson. I'm like, wait, hang on.
That was Jake Voracek.
Yeah, I remember. Now, I got my shit mixed up. I heard Cam, and I immediately went to Atkinson, because I'm thinking about buyouts, and I'm thinking
that a lot of my writing between Cam York and Cam Atkinson. I've noticed that as well.
It's okay. Have you gotten Drysdale and Drysdale figured out yet?
Kind of. I just haven't talked about him in fucking 2 weeks, because I've got other shit to talk about.
There's nothing happening in the Flyers world. Except there's signings, there's extensions.
Yeah, we gotta talk about the fucking contract extensions. God damn it.
Do you like that segue? I like that segue.
Where the fuck is Owen Tippett on this? God damn. Tippett signs.
Is it the injury?
8 years. $49.6 million, which is a $6.2 million AAV. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fair.
The term is whatever. The AAV is fine. 6.2 is fine now. It'll be fine once the caps start going up, provided Tippett can stay at the level that he's at. I believe this is, 32 when that deal expires, give or take? So it is what it is. I mean, my main complaint on this one has nothing to do with Tippett himself. It's that you have Farabee locked up till the end of time. Now you got Tippett locked up forever. Yeah, I got to assume they're going to re-sign Konechny. That is while the AAVs are not necessarily terrible, you're committing a lot of money to a lot of wingers. Mm-hmm. And you have absolutely zero answer at center besides 31-year-old, $8 million man Sean Couturier.
Yay. That's our 1C, baby. That's the thing, is like, it's fine in theory, but
in a vacuum by itself, I got no problem with the contract.
It's when you kind of start
looking at everything here, it's like, man, you're committing to a lot of wingers. Your top six wingers are set right now, and Michkov isn't even fucking here at the moment.
What's your plan here? Especially because now a lot of people are hyping up Michkov now. Because I mean, God, we need some hope in this place. I guess
let's hype up somebody else to never play for us. What a great idea!
I see diagrams of just like him being compared to Wayne Gretzky, Connor Bedard, all these other players.
Well, this worked so well when we did it with Morgan Frost. You may as well do it, right? Michkov too.
I mean, I would like to think that Michkov and Morgan Frost are like Stolarz and Claude Giroux on two planes of existence.
Yeah.
In terms of, I think Mishkov's going to be a little bit more promising than Claude Giroux Jr. over there, Bill Meltzer's wet dream. But that's the thing. It's like they're good at this. The signing's good in a vacuum, but you have to kind of now plan around what you're doing with those investments in terms of, now you need to think about the forwards. You need to think about maybe getting that Trevor Zegras-Stroud up. Again, something of that nature where you can get someone who could potentially be like a talented first C, second C. I think if you have someone like that in your first, you have Sean Couturier, second or third C. Paling, I guess, now.
Ryan Paling. Ryan Paling got 2 years, $3.8 million, which is $1.9 million AAV. And, you know,
whatever.
One of the things I've talked about a lot in the show over the last few months is Nick Seeler and all the rumors that they're going to re-sign him. And it's like, why is that your priority? Well, it's the same kind of light I have with this Ryan Paling thing of, why in the fuck are we re-signing Ryan Paling in the middle of the season? Like,
yeah.
He's fine. Great. He's a serviceable 4C who can play 3C. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Yeah,
why? You can resign any random 4C for $1 million less than what Paling got, and they're not cap strapped. It doesn't particularly matter. None of this does. But at the end of the day, like, why? Why are we focused on your random depth guys? How about you go out and try and find a 1C before you lock up your 4C for no goddamn reason?
Yeah, I think you'd want that creative space to make sure you could get some sort of core together rather than build from the fourth line up. You can't really do that if you're spending millions.
Fourth line in the history of fucking humanity.
It's, yeah.
1.9 mil for Paling, 1.7 for Delorier, 2.3 for Hathaway.
Well, at least our fourth line's locked up. I was really worried about that. That was one worry this entire season, our fourth line breaking up.
Yeah,
but I think now you have to think, with this Carter Hart thing and the Cutter Gauthier thing, you have to think Danny Briere is at least backpedaling a little bit on these considerations for re-signings, hopefully with Nick Seeler and stuff, because you need all the creativity you can get and all the resources you can have at this point, because you just lost your franchise goaltender of the future with Carter Hart, and we could argue about if he was truly that or not. Whatever, that him and Sam Ersson would look like a good tandem. You lost your number one center in Cutter Gauthier. Mishkov's not coming for another 2 years, and he's probably going to play wing if I had to guess. But I'm not.
They're
going to
try and force him to play center, but he probably ends up on the wing. Yes.
But let him be comfortable. Let him just work. We just need a star to come in and work, regardless. So. You have two huge question marks now. You already have the question mark of who's going to be that, like, number one D man for you. You don't like that's especially like on probably on left hand or anything. You may have got that with Drysdale on the right, but
Drysdale is currently on the second pair, by the way.
He could be that.
We gave up on him in 3 weeks.
Well, I guess that is what it is.
Quite frankly, longer than I expected. But
maybe he'll get replaced by Mark Stahl, and then we can get mad about that. I think I'd actually lose my goddamn mind. I think if John Tortorella sat Jamie Drysdale for Mark Stahl, I think I might have an aneurysm. So if that happens, please call me. Let me get a welfare check going because I might need it.
Yeah. I don't know. He said today that they're going to be rolling with 7 defensemen.
I saw that.
Like, I mean, I guess it means Zmula is going to play, which is great, but it also means that you're just fucking your forwards just miserably. One of them is going to play. My guess is Lexell. If they left Olli Lexell in the NHL during the entire break and then do not play him when they come back, I'm going to be livid, okay? Like, he better be getting regular top 9 minutes from here on out if they are doing this bullshit.
At this point.
Like, you're not probably... I got to assume Delorie is the odd man out. Or he's going to play 3 minutes like he's been doing. Why would you hamstring your own team like that? Especially for a playoff race here towards the end of the season when you need all hands on deck to make it happen.
Yeah, I don't
know. This 11-7. This is driving me nuts.
On one hand, I can appreciate the sentiment of it, where it's, I want to see all these D-man play, especially because a lot of them are young and need that ice time. But if you're trying, it's like you're trying to do, it's the 1 foot in, 1 foot out approach of, okay, we're still rebuilding, but also we're in a playoff spot, so we have to work towards that playoff spot. This was a little bit what I was afraid of.
We can't scratch, you know, Nick Seeler before the trade deadline, you know.
Like, God forbid.
It's just like, ugh.
So, in some ways, I get it. I think that's somewhat probably the right move, especially because, like, you know what, at this point, I wouldn't expect being in a playoff spot by the end of the year. I don't know where they'll end up, but I don't think they're going to. Like,
it's going to be a struggle, that's for sure.
I'd be shocked. I would honestly be shocked at this point if they do make it to a playoff spot.
They're going to finish just shy. They're going to miss by like a point just to completely fuck their draft positioning. We're not going to make the playoffs and their draft positioning is screwed.
I mean, I think that'd be a little better for me. Like, I think I could swallow that pill a little easier than like them going to the playoffs and then getting their asses completely chewed out by whoever they get taken on the first round. That's really my thing. So, you know, it's like second worst case scenario at that point. But still, it feels like a waste of a season at that point. But I guess there's just those X factors that we weren't necessarily, we didn't know when some of those bombs were going to drop.
Yeah, I mean, a month ago, we did not know that Hart was going to be arrested or that Cutter Gauthier was going to say, fuck you, and not play for this team.
We did have the anticipation of the former, though.
I mean, but we kind of knew the Hart thing. Well, even that, we didn't know if it was going to happen for sure. Like,
yeah,
you know, we all kind of knew he was probably involved, but, you know, for that to actually drop.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, really. I just... I don't know.
So, yeah, there's a lot of question marks with the Flyers, even up until now. So, I'll be interested to see how they kind of come out of the gate after the NHL All-Star break. Maybe Travis Konecny hanging out with Justin Bieber sparked some life back into him.
Maybe Travis Konecny learned how to play hockey from one of the actual talented hockey players that he was around all weekend.
Would be nice. Maybe hang out with, like, Pasternak or someone. Like, Jesus Christ. What was I gonna say? I want to talk about that whole shitstorm with Travis Konecny, the article thing. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ! You put a hypothetical out there, and you get fucking just destroyed by it. Like, Jesus Christ!
I love, one of my true passions in this job is getting to annoy Travis Konecny stans.
At this point,
it is a true joy that I love doing because they're so stupid.
It's interesting. It's an interesting kind of it's like a sociology test, kind of, just to
absolutely
say it's something negative about Travis
Konecny.
Totally,
I enjoy it. I don't know. Listen, I could do 3 hours on this topic if you really got me going, but like, he's fine. He's fine, but who cares?
I'm going to be honest. I think he's played great this year. I think he played great last year. I had a lot of faith in him when he first came around. I think his times here should be done. I think he should be the main selling point of your offseason, at least.
The entirety the entire point of that article is to keep or trade him. And the people that actually read it, which I assume most of them didn't because they're fucking reading comprehension skills or, you know, at like a third grade level. But the whole conclusion is this guy's getting older. He's going to be 27 in a few weeks. Okay. He'll be 28 by the time he negotiates his contract next year.
Holy fuck, I'm old.
At this point, you're kind of at the shit or get off the pot stage with him.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Flyers going to put a cup caliber team together in the next few years and try and make something out of the peak of Travis Konecny? We don't know. It's possible, but it's the Flyers. So my guess is no.
No.
I can't
imagine.
Are you going to sign this guy to like an 8x8 contract? Give him a ton of term and sign him way past his use by date and pay him a ton of money and just waste his career like they did with Giroux. Sean Couturier, the other one. Here's the guy you should have traded. You should have got rid of Sean Couturier, but they re-signed him in what's a stupid move and a contract that's going to hamstring them for the next 7 years.
Unless he decides to, or he literally can't physically play anymore.
In which case, he gets to put on LTIR for the remainder of that term.
Yeah, he's going to be the next Ryan Ellis.
It's just like, you got to think about this one. Yeah, Konechny's the best player they got right now, which speaks more to the general state of the team than it does necessarily Konechny being good. He's fine. But if you're not going to capitalize on that, sell your player while he's got some value and try and build a future with him. It's the same thing with Giroux. Can you imagine if they traded Claude Giroux in 2016?
It probably
and you
would
got prime assets for that guy. You know, like, you know, with the benefit of hindsight here, that Giroux trade was actually pretty good. You got Tippett, you got a first rounder in 2024. You know, it is what it is, right? But those assets could have been doubled if you did it just a few years prior. You held on to Giroux past the point where he was able to put the team on his back anymore, even though he's like still like a point per game guy in fucking Ottawa. It's crazy. But
well, he's like the Travis Konecny there. Like, who's going to be really much better with that team?
Just like the whole point is you got to do what's better for the future of the franchise. And if you plan on putting, if they're going to go out this summer and completely overhaul this forward group and bring in Zegras, and they're going to bring in Sam Reinhart, and you're going to bring in a top left-handed defenseman to play with Drysdale, and you're going to bring in a legitimate backup to roll with Erzin. If you're going to put a team together and your goal is to make the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs, keep Travis Konecny.
Go for it.
He's part of the future. Fine. If your goal is, we're not going to do anything until Michkov shows up, and then when he does, we're going to wait another 3 years before we do anything beyond that, and Konechny's 35, what's the point? You know, he just wasted his career. Okay.
got all a tizzy.
I just don't even understand how people are fans of any of these players anymore.
Like, to a point where they're so attached to them. That's what's really confusing me. It's like, last year, anyone could have been off the team. Anyone. You could have sold anyone on this team. I don't think many people would have bat an eye. Except maybe, like...
except Konecny and Frost. Because those are the only two people... It's such a ridiculous level. And it always makes me laugh, because it's the same people that talk about how shit Alex DeBrincat is. Or talk about how shit Johnny Gaudreau is. And you look at their numbers, and they far exceed Konecny. And even if you want to pretend they're the same player, then you shouldn't hate DeBrincat. You should admire DeBrincat because he's fucking doing the same thing as Konecny.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be cool to have two Travis Konechnys?
Yeah, that was the thing. When I had him, people always went, oh, you know, but we don't need DeBrincat. We have Konecny. But it's like, you would have two Travis Konecnys.
And they just, both.
These people are nuts. Did you see that somebody called into the Brotherly Pod text line?
I did see that, yeah. That was a whole fucking thing.
Someone got so mad at me for my take, they called into the Brotherly Pod phone line, 267-227-0328. You two can call in and yell at me. And it was like, fuck you, Daniel, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm just like, these people are nuts. You are nuts.
Yeah, that's a little... I don't know. I think getting mad at a guy for writing an article on Twitter about a hypothetical or just like weighing the options is, I think you need
weighing
to go
the options of something the organization
down.
Should actually be doing right now.
like, what do you think the, well, what do you hope the GM's office and the front office are doing around? They're asking the same exact questions probably about every single player.
You would think, yeah.
That's what I would hope. I really yeah. hope that Danny Briere and the front office are sitting around going, like, with a like a slideshow going, Ryan Poehling. Just, you hear Chuck Fletcher in the background, Chomel.
Yeah.
It's freaking, I mean, whatever. I think at this point, if it was up to me, if they're going to just not shit it, like if they're not going to do anything to add this year and they're going to just see what they have for another year, they really should consider getting rid of Travis Konecny. I say this with, I have a Travis Konecny jersey in my closet right now. I enjoy him as a player. I'm happy with his production value. If he stays, I sure hope it's for the best and he's not getting his career wasted. You already have Sean Couturier with that. You have Travis Sanheim with that. You may have Joel Farabee at that, but Joel Farabee's actually been having a good year, and hopefully he can continue that production.
Farabee signed until 2028.
Well,
he's also 23, so he had a little bit of, exactly. little bit of time there. Tippett is that, the other one. They just signed forever. He's 24, but
with Farabee and Tippett, I'm fine with. They you yeah. know, they're young enough where it's like, okay, whatever. And they are talent. I think with the right center, you could really get something out of those two. And
you
I think
add centers, Papa. What the hell?
I think
can only sign wingers.
We have to be bold.
What?
In Flyerland. We
what?
Have to be.
We haven't been bold in 15 years.
I know. I'm going to be the, what is it, the game changer saying this, but I think if we add talent, especially down the middle,
what?
We might actually do something.
And it's funny how fucking hot of a take that would actually be if you just said that on Twitter right now. People would be so pissed at you.
If we traded Travis
we don't need to add center depth. We got Morgan Frost and Michkov in 2 years. I guarantee you, if I tweeted that out, that would be a response. Guaranteed. I had somebody get mad at me today, by the way, because I was too positive about the Phantoms.
Wait, what?
One of these assholes that spends their days in my mentions yelling about how negative I am. He goes, "Why are you too positive about the Phantoms?" I was like, bro, like, you can have good players on a bad team, which is exactly what's going on in Lehigh, by the way. You've got a handful of good players, absolutely no depth, and atrocious goaltending.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
It's just like, God.
they're kind of a mess. I mean, they're kind of a mess, but at least, like, you know, at least Tuomalo Addard and Bobby Brink are all kind of going back. And Wayne Allison, I'm looking at the article right now.
Tuomalo.
Good for him.
Brink, Allison, Andre. That's pretty
Andre
much
sideways. Elliot Desnoyers is
Elliot Desnoyers is a disaster. He's kind of sort of getting better over the last few weeks, but he felt great this year.
I mean, that's a shame, but maybe he's not, you know, maybe he doesn't really see a future with us at this point, which I don't kind of blame
him
for.
Yeah, that was my theory with a lot of these Phantoms, is they took a look at the writing on the wall and don't want to work that hard anyway because they know they're never going to see the NHL.
I can't imagine Helge Gran's ever being in a Flyers lineup.
Fucking God, he's terrible.
Cal Pierce is only up there because we have to put him up there.
Yeah.
I guarantee he'd be back in the Phantoms if this whole thing didn't happen. Or
Felix
if we just
Sandstrom and Parker Gagne right now.
What a mess. Flyers are a mess. This was supposed to be our get our shit together year, and man, I feel like our shit's not together more than it was last year, unfortunately. It's kind of weird. Like, I feel like we did worse last year, but I feel like we have less of our shit together this year.
Yeah, it sure feels that way, doesn't it? You're
it
just,
really does.
They're stuck between trying to put a competitive product on the ice and not being good enough to actually compete and stalling their prospects and not using them, you know, because they want to invest in Poehling and Seeler and Mark Stahl and just box out guys that should be here. And it's left them in a really weird position where you have to compete now. And I don't trust them to build. I still don't. I don't think this front office is going to build a winning team. Maybe they do. It's possible. It's a new era, you know, new era of orange and all that rah-rah bullshit. But it's been 15 years since the cup run. You know, like, I just don't believe it. They haven't done a goddamn thing in how long. The only three players of note over the last little while, you had Kevin Hayes, JVR, and Vince LeCavalier. That's it. Those are your big time additions over the last 10, 12 years, whatever it's been. LeCavalier's 2013, I think.
Oh, we got Yuri Laterra. It's okay. We have him.
That's it. That's all you exactly. got. It's not wrong for me or this pod or anybody else to doubt their ability to build. Because Briere was here under Chuck Fletcher, by the way, in case anybody forgot about that. You know, like, they need to prove it to us that they're capable this time. And them going out of their way to re-sign Paling this early.
Yeah, it doesn't
help that argument. And, you know, trade deadline's in 4 or 5 weeks from now. And I assume Walker's gone. That seems like a guarantee at this point. But beyond we don't know. If they don't trade Sealer, that probably means they're bringing him back. And I'm going to be unhappy about that.
I mean, I hope not. I hope that's not the writing on the wall after that.
You have too many bodies in that blue line. There's absolutely no fucking reason why they should be keeping Nick Sealer beyond the trade deadline, unless they're going to re-sign him. And even then, that's stupid.
Yeah, there's no point in keeping someone like Nick Sealer. Fine defenseman, but he should be on a team that's in go time.
You have Emil Andre. You have Ronnie Adder. Zamula should be getting more time. Like, you've got guys. You've got guys that need time. I would even throw Adam Ginning on that third pair in the NHL at this point. Like, there's no reason to keep Nick Sealer. There was really no reason to keep Ryan Poehling. You know, I just, it's shit like that where their priorities are clearly not in the order that they need to be. And it's still possible you can add centers. And it's still possible they could do this. But the free agent pool is shit. The RFA pool is not looking great. You know, the trade pool has been relatively thin to this point outside of Trevor Zegras. Like,
feels like bad timing to kind of go on like some sort of cup run like this. It feels more like you should be taking this time to see what you got inside. And it's this predicament they're in with their roster that they're doing this 11-7 bullshit.
Yeah.
Because now you have all these D-men who need good looks, but you don't have the space for it because you fucking have Mark Stahl and you didn't get rid of Sealer last season. And
there's no reason Bobby Brink should be in the AHL so Nick DeLorey can play 5 minutes in the NHL.
And that's another thing. It's like,
there's no reason Cam Atkinson is still getting ice time right now. Like, you gotta move on from this era and start moving forward. They're working themselves back into, like, a middle ground. They're working themselves back into no man land of you're not rebuilding, but you're not competitive either. You know, the whole entire reason the organization wanted to rebuild in 2014 under Ron Hextall is because they didn't want to be a fucking first-round playoff exit team every year. They wanted more than that. And here we are going full circle where, hey, let's just be a first-round fucking hard-working bubble team again. It's like, that's where we settled at. This was my fear when they brought in Tortorella in the first place, was that he's just going to replicate the Blue Jackets. A hard-working, lack-of-talent, goaltending-riding, bullshit first-round team. And that is pretty much what it's being right now. And if, you know, listen, we got time. And I'm trying to hold out hope that the front office is actually going to change. That they realize that they need help now that Gauthier's gone. And that they actually go out and get Zegras or insert player here for center. But until that actually happens, we have been burned one too many fucking times for me to just buy into it. I'm not buying into this thing, and I've been saying this since I hired this front office. They're former Flyers. They know what it's like to be here. They want to do this. I don't care. Keith Jones probably doesn't know his ABCs, okay? Like, I do not trust this group until they prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't proved it yet.
They have
and
a lot
they haven't
to
proved
prove.
It yet.
I think, and this really should be a lot of pressure on Danny Briere this trade deadline because of how terrible the last year's trade deadline was. I think I said that last episode or an episode before, but it the spotlight's on him to make some sort of significant move at the trade deadline. If it is just Sean Walker, I mean, it's more than Chuck Fletcher did, which, whatever. I think that'd be at the bare minimum. But that is the literal bare minimum for him. He's got to move Sean Walker because he's a surefire gone. But I think he should really start considering moving another of these bodies. I think John Tortorella actually had in a quote. I've been trying to pull it up that he did at a press conference about
He doesn't want to get too attached to his players.
Yeah.
Which is fucking ironic when he said that, by the way, because he's the one guy I'm afraid is getting attached to these random depth players.
Well, he did say he'd wet himself if Cam York and Jamie Drysdale talk hockey during dinner. So
he said that. He also said that he would try and take away the goal if Farabee had scored that Michigan.
Yeah,
I think he was joking, but still.
He seemed like he was a little bit more of a lighthearted mood.
Apparently every single player on the bench looked at Tortorella and Farabee tried that.
Yeah, he said Travis Konecny was the first to look at him from behind. He was just like, turn his head.
Which,
God, I hope to God John Tortorella is not the coach when Mishkov comes in, because he's going to hate him.
You know, the fact that Farabee, as far as I know, is still living and breathing after trying that, maybe it's a good sign for a potential Zegers reunion. Because if Farabee disappeared, never to be seen again after that, and his blood was spattered all over the walls of the Wells Fargo Center, I think that would shut down the Zegers trade. But if he's still alive, you know, maybe there's hope.
John Tortorella comes out for the press conference, spattered in blood. You know, like,
Torts, what happened? Nothing.
Joel Farabee is taking indefinite leave of absence. Don't look at the body bag hanging outside the locker room. Like I said, it's all on Briere at this point. He has to make some sort of interesting trade at this trade deadline and really recoup some assets. And I really
at
hope
this point
he's
just sell at the deadline.
I
just
really
get
hope
Walker off the fucking team. Get Sealer off the team. Maybe try and ship out Scott Laughton. Like, if you can do something like
that,
just the bare minimum of selling. Throw some assets in here. You get garner assets. Give yourself the best chance to do something during the summer and figure it out then. But, like, just don't screw this up. Like, God, don't screw this up.
We didn't want to trade Walker because we couldn't find a proper value for him, so we just decided to hang on to him. My trade app that Chuck Fletcher lent me said that there was not proper value out there for him.
I'm half expecting Danny Briere to be full white-haired when we see the press conference for the trade deadline after all this shit that's happening.
Yeah, he's not aging well.
He's not looking good.
Looks like a fucking president, the before and after photos. And it's been 6 months or whatever it is. 8 months.
He literally became interim GM and his son threw a girl's wheelchair down a stair.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's how it started.
That's true.
It's only kind of gotten worse from there. It is what it is. I think with that Scott Laughton, speaking of which, I think we could actually still garner some assets from him, considering that one trade the Montreal Canadiens just did.
Yeah, Sean Monahan got dealt for an ass load. Thanks for putting me on the spot. I didn't know that trade pulling up. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Forgot all about it. I forgot the guy's name. I was just like, oh yeah, I think it was Canadiens.
Sean Monahan was traded to a team.
To a team.
A couple days ago, when things happened for a return. If I was a professional, I would just sit here and edit this part out. But no, we're doing it live. Montreal got a first-round pick and a conditional third-round pick from the Jets for Sean Monahan. I did not know Sean Monahan was still in the NHL before that trade had happened. Monahan's better than Laughton, but it definitely sets the bar high. I believe, was it Darren Drager last week who talked about that the Flyers are fielding calls on Laughton because the center market is so thin. It helps. And, you know, I think they should have been. How many years now have they had? You know, 2021 offseason. 2021 trade deadline, because that would have been when they fucking resigned him. 2021 offseason. 2022 trade deadline. 2022 offseason. 2023. Trade deadline, 2023 offseason, and then this will be the seventh time that they could and probably should have traded Scott Laughton. And if they hold off this time, the value's completely shot. They probably should have done it last summer with the benefit of hindsight.
That was the probably the best opportunity for them to do that.
Because his value has taken a fall from grace since then, because his season has been borderline worthless.
Wow, it's like we called that back at the beginning of the summer.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a bad fucking idea that they should have. I hate this. This is so stupid.
You gambled on that, and you gambled right with Travis Konecny in the sense of, okay, he continues to produce, but I don't know what the fuck's happening with Scott Laughton, dude. He's just not looking anywhere near the same he did last year. I don't know if it's just he keeps getting switched up. It's just not working anymore. Maybe he's upset that he didn't get the C that he was supposed to get. Like, I don't get it.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
There it is. I found it. Drop my water bottle lid.
You have to stop the whole podcast for that?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I wonder if that's going to stay in.
I don't think I've ever edited anything out on one of these shows, and I'm not going to start now.
Oh, well. I love that. that's really it. We have Carter Hart arrested. A couple re-signings, and now we're waiting to the trade deadline, and maybe want to watch the Flyers get their taints destroyed by the Florida Panthers. A lot of positive outlooks.
4 weeks from Friday is the trade deadline.
I can't be, you know, I and can't
basically
wait,
just
honestly.
Have to deal with it until then.
I can't wait to watch Nick Delorier play 5 minutes a night. Can't wait for it. $4 million for that man.
5 minutes a night when they're rolling 11 forwards, which is even dumber. It's not even just 5 minutes a night on even strength. It's 5 minutes a night when you're rolling 11 forwards. So you're basically rolling 10 forwards, which then by default means that whoever's playing 4C, which is Paling, because they just gave a ton of money to him to resign him, you know, for reasons, he's playing limited minutes as well. So, yeah, it just fucks everything up.
He's saying $1 million per year. I think it was a $4 million contract. Yeah, it's I don't know. This whole roster seems fucked. It just seems so fucked right now. You have nothing.
Yeah.
You have something, and you have nothing to do with it. That's really what the forward group is. It's what you have these decent pieces that could be something, but you got nothing down the middle to make them worth it.
Which is a problem
them.
They've had for I don't even know how many years at this point, and just nobody seems to give a fuck.
They that's the thing, is like you can love this team. You can be excited that they did really well the first half of the year, and you can, you know, manage your expectations, but there has to be room for criticism here. There has to be room for, yeah, this seems all great and everything's all cotton candy and rainbows, but that cotton candy is going to get old soon, and it's not going to taste as good. And the vegetables are coming, and we're going to have to eat our vegetables for this. And it doesn't seem like the organization wants to yet. And I think it's going to hit them hard. They're going to get the diabetes
sooner or later. Yeah,
we're going to lose a foot.
Breer's next tragedy.
Oh no. So here we go in 2 weeks. Breer loses foot.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. That's all. I mean, that's really it for me. I don't know any much more. There's not much more to say unless you want to talk about Travis Konecny hanging out Justin Bieber.
Why was he even at the All-Star game? What was the point?
I think there was like four celebrity coaches or representatives. Michael Bublé was on mushrooms. That was the big story for me. He openly admitted it at the press conference. Michael Bublé. Freaking Christmas! I think he sings all those Christmas songs. I don't know if that's him or thinking of him. He said he was supposed to use his friend was giving him a microdose of mushrooms, and it was not a microdose, and he thought he was in Blades of Glory, I think it was, while he was on the ice, and then he kind of came down. He's like, "Oh fuck, I'm at the NHL All-Star game." I think those were his paraphrasing a little bit, but it was bold of him to, you know, openly admit that. Good
probably
for him though.
Way to get through the All-Star game, to be fair.
So. You know what? I'm not complaining why he did it. I just think it was very bold that he openly admitted it like that, but I guess he was still kind of reeling from it. I listen, if I was him, I do the same exact thing, probably. Yeah. It sounds like a fun-ass time. Sidney Crosby looking like a goddamn tree or some shit. Be fun.
All right, everyone. I don't have anything more to say.
No, I'm. Yeah, they haven't even played in the last week, so there's nothing really we can really.
I also now have a delay in my headphones, and it's driving me absolutely nuts. So we're gonna hang up so I can deal with this. All right, everyone. I'll be back with Dylan sometime this week. Yeah, I think Freaking Flyer on Thursday is the plan. Yeah, so plenty of shit on the website, brotherlypuck.com. By the time most of you listen to this, the 24-25 opening night lineup piece should be up and listed on the website, so you can check that out, and everyone can get mad at me for that. And, yeah. At Dead the Flyer Fan, at Brotherly Puck, at Brotherly _ pod, brotherlypuck.com, Dead the Flyer Fan _ jerseys over on Instagram, and hopefully by the time next time you hear me, Nasally Dan will be gone! I am very sick of my voice sounding like this because I'm sick. It drives me nuts.
You're very sick of it. Yeah. Because you're so sick.
What's your fucking handle, Papa? Let's get that out of here.
What's my fucking... goddamn... shit. Papa Flyer, spelled as it is. Peace out.
I hate that we even have to say that. All right, everyone. Until next time, goodbye and good night. Drop the gloves, let's go! Drop the gloves!